T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is exciting. I've been looking forward to this. Man, we've done a lot of, you know, MLS stadium talk and NBA free agency. And, you know, summertime, we look for little diversions as well.
Yes.
Like the hot dog eating contest is always fun to talk about. But I've been mentioning last couple days, the Marlins are doing something cool. So the Marlins game on Sunday, you can celebrate Sandlot. Now, the Sandlot is one of the most iconic movies of, how would you refer
Not your time, but my time.
Not my time. Because I hadn't seen it till recently, and I've got a 14-year-old son. He watched it maybe when he was like 11, and then you had told me you got to see it. Although, I don't know when, this is the 25th anniversary, so the director of the movie, The Sandlot, David Mickey Evans, is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. But anyway, on Sunday at the Marlins game at Marlins Park, they are going to screen the movie, and that's after the game, obviously. David Mickey Evans, the director, is going to be there. A couple actors from the film are going to be there as well. The Marlins, earlier this week, they sent us the bobbleheads of Ham Porter, right?
Ham, yeah.
That was cool, man. So the director of The Sandlot, David Mickey Evans, is with us right now. Hello, David.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
An iconic movie. So when you made The Sandlot 25 years ago, did you have any idea that it was going to become this staple in any child's, you know, movie-watching life?
Staple of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no way to know that. I mean, the best you can hope for when you're making a picture is that, you know, everybody that's working on it is making the same movie. And I had, you know, that great fortune. And look, we knew we may have something special because we had a lot of fun making it. I mean, if you ask the cast, even to this day, they'll tell you it wasn't so much that they were there acting in a movie as they were at baseball summer camp. And they became best friends. They still are to this day. And I think that comes through in the film. But you know, that it's become this, you know, legendary, you know, immortal classic. There was no way to know. If I knew how to do that while I was making a movie, I'd put it in a jar and sell it. You'd never see me again.
I mean, when you think about it, right? 25 years ago, you're directing The Sandlot, and 25 years later, a Major League Baseball team is having a bobblehead night where they're featuring characters from your movie. It's unprecedented.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, listen, the Topps baseball card in the 25th anniversary edition of the DVD, you know, you've got the characters, you know, the boys each have their own Topps baseball card inside the set. But the other day, Topps called me up and they said, "We want you to sign a bunch of baseball cards." I said, "Of what?" You know, "Well, what's on the baseball card?" And they go, "You." I said, "Are you kidding me? I'm getting my own Topps baseball card." And they said, "Yeah." So I'm speechless. Stuff like that happens all the time, and I just shake my head. I can't. It's just amazing.
And as I watched it, like, I related to it. I was 9 when it came out, David. So I was right there in that realm, and it just seemed too real. Like, it was some autobiographical-ish things going on. Like, was that somebody's story, or is it 100% fiction?
Both. It's so weird you asked me that. The whole idea comes from an incident in my childhood when my little brother and I were, like you said, like probably 9 and 10, 9 and 11, and these bullies that lived in the street we were on never let us play ball with them. And one day my brother went down the end of the block, and they said, "Hey, we knocked our ball over this backyard fence. Go get it, and you can play with us." So he was, of course, very eager to do that. But back there lived this sort of neighborhood legendary vicious dog whose name was actually Hercules. So my brother jumped the fence, got the ball, and the dog bit him in the leg really bad. So that's where the whole thing comes from. And my little brother happens to be with me on this leg of this 25th anniversary tour. So that was a... I don't know, a bit of kismet right there, I think.
That's kind of cool, man. It's
it's very cool.
The Sandlot, 25th anniversary. And again, Miami Marlins, if you go to the Marlins game on Sunday, following the game, there will be a screening. They're going to be giving away bobbleheads. I mean, it is a... It's a celebration of the Sandlot. Now, where does the Sandlot fall? We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Where does the Sandlot fall in the pantheon of baseball movies, all-time baseball movies? Because you got to have Bad News Bears up there, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Got to have Field of Dreams up there, right?
Absolutely. That's my favorite, yeah.
So where Major League, maybe? I don't know. Like, does it fall in the Mount Rushmore of baseball movies? I think it does.
All I can tell you, because obviously I'm not going to critique my own work, but I think over the last 10 years, Bleacher Seats, Sports Illustrated, and, you know, the biggies have all run these fan baseball movie ranking contests, and the Sandlot has won almost every single time.
Wow.
Okay. And it's been called the greatest baseball movie ever made and the best summer movie of all time. And it was also, a critic recently, because of the 25th anniversary, gave it a new moniker and called it the single most American film ever made. So I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think I like it.
I love it. I'm telling you, that the lifeguard scene, I mean, that resonates with every boy in America, right?
It has to, of course.
That had to be...
That was David.
Is that his story?
I know, Dave.
Is that your story?
Well, I never actually went as far as to try and drown myself to get a kiss. But, man, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California in the 70s. And, we were very poor, so we went to the public pools. You know, you get it for a quarter, 50 cents or whatever. And, man, the most beautiful high school girls and guys, you know, very tan and muscular and all these, sat up in these lifeguard chairs, you know, above us all, and like gods and goddesses. And I never forgot that. And so that was my my ode to all of those beautiful lifeguards.
And it was a perfect ode. You captured something perfectly. You know what I mean? Like every guy watching that can relate to that. David Mickey Evans, he is the director of The Sandlot. And it's the Sandlot's 25th anniversary celebration. Marlins Park Sunday, they're going to screen the movie after the game. Are you doing anything? Like, this is, it's a franchise, right? I mean, and I don't mean a movie franchise. The Sandlot itself is a franchise. Like you say, there's Topps baseball cards, there's bobbleheads. Like, what else can you do with this? Because it almost seems silly to not exploit it even further.
Well, it's funny you ask that. I can't say much about it, but I can say that I am. I just actually closed a deal with Fox to make a prequel to The Sandlot, write and direct it. That'll probably take place in 1950 or 52, and it'll probably be the story of the Beast and Mr. Myrtle with a new group of kids.
I love it.
There's also a television show in the works. I mean, the merchandising on this movie is just, you know, not to be weird about it, but it's incredibly profitable. But the thing with it is, and I'm actually wearing one right now, a You're Killing Me Small shirt.
Oh my God, you see those everywhere.
Everywhere. It's continuing its quest to take over worldwide t-shirt domination. I'm telling you, it's just everywhere. So there's all that sort of thing. And of course, these kind of tours and stuff that me and the boys, I call them boys, they're all 30 years old now, is just remarkable. You know, we do tons of charity events. We've been going all over the United States since, I think, March. And not all of us all together, but all of us in some way will probably hit every Major League Baseball stadium for a screening and bobbleheads and all that. The Sandlot got its own set of Funkos.
Wow. You
know, those little figures.
Yeah.
And on and on and on. It's amazing.
Was there any other name? I know you got to think back 25 years, but like, could you have messed up on the name? Because The Sandlot just hits it. Like, it just resonates
Great there. Great question.
Yeah, back in the day. That's where we played baseball, was The Sandlot.
Well, that's another great question, is because that's not the original title of the movie. When I wrote the script, the original title was The Boys of Summer. And I thought that was a pretty nice title. And then one day, my lawyer gets a call from Roger Kahn's lawyer, going, you're not really going to do that, are you? So we said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. So we had to come up with another name, and I think it was when we started editing it, and the words, the Sandlot, let's go to the Sandlot. Hey, come on, guys, Sandlot, were, you know, not frequent, but frequent enough in the movie. Dang, that's a really good idea. And so we ran it by Fox, and they said, oh, yeah, that's it. So they liked it.
David Mickey Evans, he is the director of The Sandlot. How much did you guys make that movie for 25 years ago?
I can't tell you the exact budget, but I will tell you, this will blow your mind, more than $5 million and less than $10
million. So you made this entire feature film for between $5 and $10 million, which nowadays is the catering fee, right?
The craft service budget, exactly.
But this film has seen, correct me if I'm wrong, more success outside of the theater than it did in the theaters.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, look, if you think about it, it came out in 1993, and it made a little over $40 million in its initial domestic theatrical release. But that was at 1993 ticket prices, okay? And an adult was like $4, and a kid was like $2.75 or $3. So translate that into today's money, and that's a movie that was made at that budget that would have made $150 million. Plus, you think about it, it was right there in the halcyon days of the VHS rental market. There was over 1 million tapes in the rental programs, Blockbuster and all that. And those tapes, when they're sold into rental, are $99 a piece.
Right.
And then it went through the DVD era, which we're kind of coming to the end of. And now it's streaming. So it's so weird. It's like this little movie with these characters caught in time that is literally immortal. I love that.
Are any of the actors, do any of the actors begrudge the fact that people, will see them always through the prism of The Sandlot? You see that sometimes with actors that are children and get, thought of as just a particular role.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think any of the guys have any, axe to grind or beef about that at all. The two that get recognized the most, because they still look very, very much the same as they did when they were kids, are Chauncey Leopardi, who played Squints, and who just had a new baby on the 4th of July, if you can imagine that, and Pat Renna, who played Ham. And, I mean, we're in D.C. right now going over the All-Star game and, the military game and all that. And this guy cannot walk through the hotel lobby without hearing five times, "You're killing me, Smalls!" it's like, it's wonderful, and you got to cherish that stuff. But after the 200 millionth time you hear that, even Superman would, get a little itchy about that. So, but as far as like them having been typecast or pigeonholed or anything like that, I don't think any of them have that. And they all can tip, four or five of them still are working actors, especially Pat Renner. And listen, it's a hell of a calling card to have in the movie industry, in the television industry, because you walk in like, oh my God, you're in The Sandlot. Done. Sign your contract,
And David, I saw Sandlot 1, 2. There's actually 3, but if I'm right, you did not direct the third one. The success of the first one, I wanted to ask you, were you maybe a little, second guessing making a second one? And then with the third one, why weren't you involved?
Well, that's a really good question. I originally, believe it or not, had 6 Sandlots, and they were a decade apart, and the first one was 1962, then 72, which was when the second one was set, and then 82, 92, etc. Even with all of the success, the initial theatrical success of the Sandlot, there is this sort of thought in the hive mind of Hollywood that baseball movies, quote, don't travel well. In other words, they don't do well overseas, and that may or may not be true to a certain extent. Baseball movies that are about baseball don't do very well. Movies that are about friendship set against the background of a Sandlot in baseball, they do great, And so it took 12 years for the studio to agree to do a Sandlot sequel. And I said, cool, I'll do it in 1972 and all that. But they gave me one-third of the budget of the original and one-half of the amount of time to make it. So I shot the number 2 in 17 days. Which is like, a minor miracle. And it went direct to DVD.
I was going to say, almost sounds like they were looking for a direct-to-DVD movie.
There's this formula and algorithm that studios use to decide and they only make movies direct to DVD that are sequels or prequels or whatever to movies in their catalog that have made a certain amount of money in the theaters. So this one fit that model, and so I got to make number two. Number two is actually the most successful direct-to-DVD live-action family film of all time, and it remains so to this day. Number three, I didn't have anything to do with it. Why they didn't want me to have anything to do with it, you'd have to ask the studio. I have no idea.
That seems like a crazy misjudgment on their part.
Oops. Well, I think they're redeeming themselves because this latest deal I just concluded to make a prequel is we're going to have plenty of money and time. They're very high on it.
That's pretty awesome. I'm imagining there's a lot of people listening right now that are thrilled there's going to be more. The Sandlot, 25th anniversary. So the director, David Mickey Evans, with us here. You can get the 25th anniversary collection. It's available on Blu-ray and digital for download. You can get included with it 10 custom Topps baseball cards, which David was talking about, full color poster, collectible booklet, and more. And then this Sunday at Marlins Park, they are going to screen The Sandlot following the game, the Marlins Phillies game. And Dave, you're going to be there at Marlins Park Sunday, correct?
Absolutely. I'm not quite sure who's coming with me. It might be Marty York, who played Yeah.
Yes, Shane Marty York is coming, and Grant Gelt.
Grant Gelt, right. He played Bertram, yeah.
So
and we'll probably go out and throw the first ball out and hang out with the crowd. And listen, I've seen The Sandlot more than any other living human being. But I got to tell you, when you see it at a baseball park, it's in its natural habitat.
That's got to be cool.
Absolutely, astoundingly cool.
Yeah, that has to be cool. And then they'll be giving away Ham Porter bobbleheads at the gates on Sunday. Also, if you get a particular ticket package, you will receive an exclusive Squints bobblehead. So you can go to Miami Marlins, marlins.com for info on that. That was fascinating and a great trip down memory lane for me and Crowder and a lot of our listeners. David Mickey Evans, director of The Sandlot, thank you for making time for us and have fun on Sunday.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. I had a blast. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, come out and see us on Sunday. It's going to be cool.
Will do. Thank you for making time.
You bet. All right, see you guys.
That is super cool, man. That is, I'm telling you, it's one of those iconic movies.
Oh, it's awesome.
Everyone has, like, I know my kid has a copy of The Sandlot on the DVR. Yeah. It's just saved on the DVR. Everyone listening either has a VHS copy, a DVD or a Blu-ray, or has it somewhere on their DVR.
Or if you don't, the damn movie channel plays it
nonstop.
Once a day.
Yeah.
Yes, at every different station.
All right, that was cool.
I love Squints.
Squints is your man.
You know, yeah, Rocket Rodriguez, he was the star and all, but Squints.
Squints is your man.
He closed the deal.
There you go. He did close the deal.
He got game.
All right, so there you go. That was pretty cool. That was a nice little diversion on a Friday in summer when you're, you know, when you've had it up to here with stadium talk and Wayne Ellington talk and Isaiah Thomas for the veterans minimum talk.
Isaiah could have been in The Sandlot.
Isaiah's looking for. That's actually great. They cast the next one with adults, but they're playing kids.
Isaiah Squints.
That was fascinating. Really enjoyed that. That was cool.
Summer's here. You know what that means. Boating season is also here, so you gotta get to Complete Marine. You know I love boating and fishing, and whenever I'm headed out, I make sure I take my boat to Complete Marine first to make sure I'm safe on the water. They're located 800 South Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. I gotta tell you first, they're a Nautic Star boat dealer. Check out the Nautic Star boats. I fell in love with them, featuring Yamaha outboard motors. So whatever you're looking for, a new, a pre-owned boat. If you're looking to trade or sell your current boat, there's over 100 boats on the lot, 100 trailers on the lot. And if exactly what you're looking for isn't there, they're going to find it for you. They're also a full-service waterfront facility right there, guys. They have the dockage right there, offering storage, fuel, financing, and even insurance. They service most inboards and outboard motors, and the guys in the garage, they are awesome. Over 100 years of combined experience in the back. There's no job too big. There's no job too small. A Suzuki, Mercury, Merc Cruiser, Volvo, Volvo Diesel, whatever you got, those awesome technicians will fix it. You got to give them a call at 954-567-BOAT. That's 954-567-2628. Or visit the website at CompleteBoat.com. So get over there and see Dave. He's amazing. The great staff. And when your boat's in that garage, trust me, my boat's been there a number of times. They will get you right. You got to get to 800 South Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. From bottoms to repower, we do it all at Complete Marine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.